By listening to this interview, you agree to the terms posted at backhope.com/disclaimer.
Welcome to the Back Hope Summit. I'm Fiona Truman, your host and fellow traveller on the road to health and freedom from pain. There is hope, and you're about to discover new possibilities for finding it. Congratulations on taking this next step in your journey. Today we're talking with Amber Davies. Amber is a certified myofascial trigger point therapist and licensed massage therapist in Louisville, Kentucky. She specializes in self-treatment education with this myofascial trigger point work. Her father, Claire Davies, wrote the Trigger Point Therapy Workbook, Your Self-Treatment Guide for Pain Relief. Amber has recently finished the first major revision of this book in 10 years, and the third edition is going to be available in English in the summer of this year. Amber, we're going to talk a lot about the book, but I know that it's been published in 13, 14 languages, something like that.
Yeah.
And it is great that you've joined us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
This is interesting. Now, I know that you've got a personal history of chronic low back pain. Is that what got you interested in this?
Yes. I had a back injury when I was 18, a lifting, twisting injury, and lived with back pain for 6 years. I couldn't sit for more than about an hour. Well, let's see. After the first year, after lots and lots of chiropractic care, which kept me in college and kept me on my feet, the rest of the 5 years, I couldn't sit for more than about an hour without a lot of pain and jamming my fingers and thumbs into my low back. I couldn't walk more than a mile or two without low back pain. I couldn't drive in a car or sit in a car for hours. I couldn't lift more than about 25 pounds without having pain for 3 days. I couldn't sleep in. I'd have pain after being in bed for 7 or 8 hours. My dad discovered trigger point therapy from having a frozen shoulder, and he tried traditional allopathic medicine, and one doctor said he had bursitis and he needed to wear his arm in a sling for 6 months and maybe it would heal itself. Another doctor said he had adhesive capsulitis and he needed to be put under anesthetic and have his arm taken through the normal range of motion to pop out the adhesions. And my dad was not confident in that method. And so he decided to go with physical therapy, and the physical therapy hurt him and made him worse. He wasn't ready for the stretching and strengthening yet. So he eventually decided to try massage therapy. And the massage therapist was using the primary text on trigger point therapy. It's called Myofascial Pain and Dysfunction, the Trigger Point Manuals by Drs. Janet Travell and David Simons. The therapist was using these textbooks. They have wonderful illustrations. And she was using the textbooks to try and solve my dad's frozen shoulder. Well, he wrote down the names of the books and went to the college bookstore and bought the $200 set of medical textbooks. He was a do-it-yourselfer, and he liked to be in charge of whatever was going on. And within 4 weeks, he had completely resolved all of the pain. He'd been in pain for 8 months, had very limited use of his arm. And then another 2 weeks of the stretching that the physical therapist initially had recommended, and he had full range of motion. He went a little bananas on trigger point therapy and talked about it all the time. And he started coming after me and saying, hey, maybe we can solve your back pain. Because I was at 24, my story was I had back pain. I was ruined. I was going to have back pain the rest of my life. And my family wouldn't let me lift anything. People were always, oh, whoa, what about your back? And I'd given up. We'd all given up. But I'd never tried any soft tissue work. I'd never tried any massage therapy or anything but chiropractic, which kept me on my feet and made the worst of it go away. But I'd never done anything else. And so he started treating me, and I started seeing a local massage therapist because my dad lived in a different town. And he started teaching me how to use a simple tennis ball against the wall to massage the muscles that were making my pain in my low back. And I looked up one day, I'd been sitting for 4 hours making jewelry, And I looked at the clock and realized I'd been sitting for 4 hours. And I jumped up out of my chair and said, oh, no, I'm going to have pain. I can't afford to have pain tomorrow. And I didn't have any pain.
You've been sat for 4 hours.
Yeah. And I thought, well, wait a minute. When was the last time I had pain? And I thought about a trip I'd taken several months before. And yes, I'd remembered having to stop and get out of the car and walk around after a couple of hours. And then I thought about a movie that I'd seen a month or so before. And I had sat through the whole movie at the movie theater. I realized somewhere in there, my back pain had gotten resolved through the combination of massage therapy, the self-treatment and the therapy I was getting from other people. And I was astounded.
Yes, because, I mean, people listening thinking, yeah, my limit was about an hour and a half. I couldn't do anything for more than an hour and a half. So as you say, the sitting, the driving, and you stop going things. And again, family said, don't pick that up because they look at you. If you pick that up, it's selfish because then I'm going to have to look after you when you're not well afterwards because it hurts. So, and it's this sort of cotton wool, isn't it? You can't do anything. But it wasn't, I got up one morning and it was better. It was suddenly realizing that over those weeks, improvements had sneaked in.
Yeah, and I knew that I was better, but I had no hope that it be gone. I had accepted it as the reality, and I had accepted my limitations. And that got me through the day and got me through my activities. And that was maybe a good coping strategy, but I don't think it was a good coping strategy to give up and stop seeking out other treatment.
But people do, don't they? Because you don't have any hope left. All you have is pain. And you were very young. You were younger than I was. That's a very, very young age. At least I got through college. I was fine through college. Mine was afterwards. So it was your dad. I love that phrase. He came after me because he went a bit bananas.
He did. He finally wrote the Trigger Point Therapy workbook because he got tired of being ignored. He would tell waitresses to buy Travell and Simon's Myofascial Pain and Dysfunction, a $200 set of medical textbooks that don't tell you how to treat yourself. They just show you where the trigger points are and give you a ton of information about trigger points. But the average reader cannot read that textbook. It's very dense. So he finally decided to go to massage therapy school. He was a piano rebuilder. He was a do-it-yourselfer. He was a mechanical kind of a guy. Very, very smart. Very good at making complex things simple. So he decided to go to massage therapy school, get some experience, get some training, and study techniques of self-treatment so he could write the Trigger Point Therapy workbook for everyday people like him so they could treat themselves. He was very frustrated with the medical approach to pain and how here was this hidden gem that wasn't widely known about, and he wanted to change that.
Do you know, I know that your father is no longer with us, but I know I'd have liked him. I can tell. Amber, what exactly is a myofascial trigger point?
A myofascial trigger point. First, myofascial. Myo means muscle. Fascia is the layer of soft tissue that covers muscle, that is layered within muscle over different layers of muscle fiber, all the way down to the tiniest little band of muscle. There are these different layers of fascia. It's connective tissue. Everybody who's ever cut up a chicken or seen a raw chicken has seen fascia. It's the thin, gooey membrane stuff that's underlying the fat that you have to kind of pull off when you're dealing with a raw chicken. Well, fascia covers our whole body and in between muscles and, like I said, in the muscles. So that's myofascial. A trigger point is basically a little tiny spot in a muscle that stays contracted all the time. It happens at the place where the motor nerve comes into the muscle to tell it to do its job. That's called the neuromuscular junction. And at that place, there's basically too much of the chemical that tells the muscle to contract. It's called acetylcholine. The repeated release of acetylcholine creates a sustained contracture of the little tiny part called a sarcomere, which is the smallest thing that contracts in a muscle. We've got bajillions. I don't even know how many sarcomeres are in the whole body, but it's very small, and that contracts. Well, like if you're to contract your bicep muscle, like to bring your hand to touch your face, a whole bunch of these sarcomeres contract. And if you were to pick up a 10-pound weight and bring that weight towards your head, a whole bunch more sarcomeres would contract. And if you were to straighten your elbow and let that weight hang at the end of your arm, it would stretch out the muscle, right? Well, what happens at a trigger point is the sarcomeres are staying contracted all the time. When you stretch, when you sleep, when you relax, when you do yoga, any of it, it stays contracted. And eventually these trigger points will create referred pain. That is pain that is sent away from the site of the trigger point. It has a relationship with the spine and the sensory nerves where the pain goes. So with trigger points, oftentimes the problem is not in the place that hurts.
Ah, we're back to this referred pain. I wonder if I could just stop you there a second, Amber, because we have just been joined by Sharon Sauer, who's co-director of therapy at the Mayo Pain Relief Centre. Now, you were trained and mentored by the late Dr. Janet Travell, who Amber's already mentioned, Dr. Janet Travell and Dr. Was it David Simons?
That's right, David Simons and Dr. Travell, yes.
Now, you worked very closely with them, and you've co-authored a book called Myofascial Pain and Dysfunction, the Trigger Point Manual.
That's correct.
Now, Amber was just explaining to us, in a beautiful way actually, about, let me see if I get the words right, sarcomeres, yes. Now, they're the tiniest little bits that you get in your soft tissue, muscly bits that contract. And we've got this substance being secreted that's keeping it contracted. And this is what a trigger point is. If I can ask you, Amber, to carry on, and you were explaining it beautifully, thank you. Even I understood.
It's not rocket science, especially when we get to the massage part. That's not rocket science. The chemistry can get really pretty complicated. In the third edition of the Trigger Point Therapy Workbook, I've tried to simplify it enough for everybody to understand. But the good thing is you don't have to understand the chemistry to be able to do the treatment. But in a nutshell, a trigger point is basically a little tiny knot where the muscle is staying contracted all the time, and it causes referred pain to other places. What's interesting is the referred pain happens in predictable patterns on most people. Janet Travell and David Simons and many other researchers around the world help to figure out these pain patterns. Doctors Travell and Simons published that work in their book, Myofascial Pain and Dysfunction. What's so interesting is we can look at a topic like low back pain and know that low back pain has a variety of different patterns and a variety of different symptoms. And we can look at the pain pattern and the symptoms and figure out what muscles are involved. Maybe figure out if like a therapist like Sharon or I or a chiropractor or somebody could do a postural assessment and take a look at the pelvis and the spine and do a lot of things manually to get an idea of the big picture. You don't have to have an MRI. Oh, that's another interesting piece. You've never heard the term trigger point, probably, most of your listeners. And they'd be wondering, well, how come my doctor hasn't told me about trigger points? Can't they be seen on the MRI I just had? And the answer is no. The trigger points can't be seen on an MRI, and they can't be seen by X-ray. Currently, we don't have an imaging technology that can see trigger points that is used in a clinical setting. There is a lot of research being done on looking at trigger points with color Doppler ultrasound. We're hoping to someday have a technology that's affordable for therapists to have in their offices to be able to see a trigger point in live tissue. But the good news is we don't have to have that kind of technology to be able to feel a trigger point. Sometimes we can feel them with sensitive fingers, where they feel like little bumps.
I was going to ask that because, I mean, what you're hoping will come through, as you say, is technology that will see the concentration of this stuff that's being collecting. Does it pool within the muscle? Or?
It's more that more and more of these little sarcomeres get involved. Like when we use the example of the bicep muscle bringing the hand towards the head, just a few sarcomeres are contracting. But if we lift a 10-pound weight and bring that towards our head, a whole lot more are contracting. And a trigger point at the neuromuscular junction where there's some imbalance of the chemistry, more and more and more fibers of the muscle get involved with that. The longer the trigger point is there, the more the repetitive strain. Trigger points happen as a result of repetitive strain of gross trauma, like an injury directly to the muscle, like a car accident or a fall. I'm forgetting a few other things, Sharon, if you want to jump in there.
Well, the taut bands are filled with those painful chemicals that the potty puts in there to hold the taut band in that position and to actually put it in kind of a stasis where it's actually not doing its job at all. When we go in and press on those sarcomeres and press those painful chemicals out of the sarcomeres, especially at the muscle junction with the nerve, the trigger point goes away. So we're looking to go in and press on those taut bands of muscle and eliminate those painful chemicals and then stop the referred pain pattern that occurs due to them.
I was going to say the way we know we're on a trigger point is that a trigger point always hurts when you press on it. Now, we have lots of locations where trigger points can happen, but we don't always have all those trigger points. They basically happen at a specific place, imbalance, and when you have a trigger point, it hurts, and sometimes it can hurt really bad. So that's how we know we're on one. And sometimes when you're pressing on it, it'll refer the pain.
I was going to ask you about that. Is the trigger point in the place where the pain is felt?
No, it's generally not. It's usually 80% of the time, it's not where the trigger point is felt. It's somewhere else. So 20% of the time, you'll be right if you go to the area that hurts, and 80% of the time, you'll be wrong. So one rule of thumb that you might use is wherever it hurts, you could look above it, below it, and either side of it and look for a painful area that when you press on it, it recreates the pain that you're experiencing.
There's another general rule. A lot of trigger points send their pain away from the midline of the body. So the center of the body, a lot of trigger points send pain down the legs, or a lot of shoulder muscles will send pain down the arms. There are a few exceptions, including a very important one in the buttocks muscles, the gluteus medius. The gluteus medius can send pain from the outside of the hip towards the low back, towards the center of the low back. But most of the time, if you're having back of the knee pain, you'd want to look up the back of the leg into the hamstrings. That's just a general rule.
Okay, well, my first thought when you said that was sciatica, because I had appalling sciatica when I was at my worst. And in fact, one of my sisters is suffering from it at the moment, quite recent. And the pain from sciatica is indescribable, isn't it?
It is. The pain from trigger points can be just slightly annoying or so excruciatingly painful that you cannot believe that it's from just a small group of taut bands in the muscle.
My understanding from this is, because this is very new to me, and it's going to be the same for our listeners, that the trigger point in 80% of cases is not the place where you feel the pain, although if you press on the trigger point, you will always feel the pain there.
Yes, it's always painful when you press on the trigger point itself.
And sometimes you'll get the referred pain. Often, if you hold that trigger point 10, 15 seconds, you'll begin to feel your recognizable referred pain pattern. Sometimes it feels just like sensation. It's just like kind of a dee-dee-dee-dee, just a little tingly kind of a sensation. And other times, the referred pain pattern you're eliciting is more painful than the spot you're pressing on. It varies a little bit from body to body.
Bodies are all different, aren't they? This is really quite interesting. I'm learning lots. I'm still not quite these sarcomeres, but I know that if you have a party and your sarcomeres are involved, more and more of these sarcomeres come to join in, which seems a little unfair, but
the trigger point sometimes is a self-protective mechanism. The muscle is saying, hey, I've been doing this too much, I've been injured, or I've been overstretched. Give me a break. Let me relax. And if you were to, say, put your arm in a sling, like I was describing my dad's frozen shoulder and how one doctor said, put your arm in a sling for 6 months and maybe it'll be better. If you were to let a group of muscles do nothing for a long period of time, it seems as if eventually the body sometimes takes care of that and then recreates a balance in the metabolism. The downside is if you wore your arm in a sling, half the muscles would be overshortened and would be incapacitated.
They could be setting up a problem somewhere else.
Tons of problems. And then they'd all be atrophied. And then you'd have to rebuild the muscle. And then you might get more trigger points rebuilding the muscle. So it's not a great therapy to stop moving. It's better to keep moving.
Muscles heal through movement. Bones heal by keeping them still so they can knit together. But muscles need to heal properly. They need to heal through movement.
That's a good way to put it, Sharon. Thank you.
Yes, yes. That one I do understand. And they have moved, haven't they, when treating back pain from go and lie down for a fortnight to move around as much as you can. If you sit for 20 minutes, get up and walk around your desk, for example. So they are general advice today is moving towards that, isn't it?
Yes, that's very good. Everyone needs to get a standing desk.
Oh, yeah. Do you know about those, Fiona? The desk where with no effort you can flip the switch and raise your desk up to a standing position and be standing at your monitor and your computer screen and stand there and do your work. And then after a while you say, oh, I'm getting tired, I want to sit down. And then you can lower the desk. Isn't that brilliant?
That sounds a little bit Star Trek. I like the sound of it.
I think we're moving towards Star Trek. I like it.
I'm at one of those desks right this minute. It goes up and down. I also have a standing chair. So I could stand and just put my butt right on the chair for a moment, or I could just stand and I'm inside the desk. There's a little keyhole space and I'm inside the desk so that you can rest your arms on the desk while you're standing here.
Oh, wow.
This is important, I think, from what you said, Amber. Your dad was told to put his arm in a sling for 6 months and it might work. But even if it did, you'd end up with loads of problems. But what I said was, how does that fit in with daily life? It doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't.
So to have a desk like you have, Sharon, you can adapt it to what you do. That is interesting. But, you know, we're going off the subject here. I love conversations like this. I mean, we've talked about referred pain. This has come up time and time again. And whilst I was aware of it before, I didn't realise just how much of it was referred. And I think that's interesting. Cross the midline, so we might want to look up, we might want to look down, but look around. And that's where your problem is.
If you have sciatica, one of the muscles that could cause sciatica is in your lower leg. And if you just reach down to the outside of your lower leg, halfway between your knee and your ankle, there's a spot right there. If you could look for a painful spot right in there yourself. Can you look right now?
I am.
If there's a painful spot right there, that's a spot that can actually refer pain up right to your sciatic area and cause pain right in the middle of the buttocks. Now, the range of motion test for that to see if you have a problem like that would be, can you do a heel down squat? So can you do a squat with keeping your heels down? Are you able to do that right now?
Sharon, I'm having a go. I've got a long lead on my headphones.
With your heels on the ground, can you squat all the way down and can you get the back of your thigh to touch the back of your lower leg?
I have absolutely no problem doing that at all. But so I don't have sciatica. Yeah. My sister does. I used to have it. So this is what I need to do with my sister.
That's right. So this is what you do with your sister. That was one of the ones. Another one that she could look at is, do I have trigger points in the iliopsoas muscle that could be causing pain right at the sciatic joint? And that would be, can she bring her knee to her chest? So can she bring her knee all the way? Can her thigh end up right on her chest?
While laying down,
mainly laying down, correct.
Okay, well, I'm seeing her tomorrow. So we can ask her that.
Can she bring her knee to her chest? If she can't, that would be a muscle that's deep in the front of your body, so where the abdominals are, but deep right where the leg bends, just to the right or left of your umbilicus, your belly button.
Yeah.
And that's where she would press in to look for trigger points in the psoas, and that causes really bad low back and sciatic pain right in the buttocks there. And that could activate the gluteus muscles, and then that could end up causing the pain that run down your leg. Mm-hmm. So one test she'd like to be able to pass would be the heel down squat. And another is, can she bring her knee to her chest towards her opposite shoulder? And those would be a couple of muscles, and also tests the gluteus muscles. Do they have the length? Both of those would be great tests for her. And another test would be, can she touch her toes seated with her legs out front? Can she touch her toes? And that would be a good test for all the muscles along the spine, gluteus muscles.
But seated, is it, Sharon?
Seated or standing, but it's more conservative to do it seated. So with your back against the wall, your legs out in front of you straight, if you can touch your toes, that would be a pass and showing that you have good range of motion of the back muscles. So those would be the tests. If you can't pass those tests, then it's indicated that you would look for trigger points in certain muscles. And that's the kind of things that are in Amber's book and my book.
I want to remind you that Sharon's book is called Trigger Point Therapy for Low Back Pain, a Self-Treatment Workbook by Sharon Sauer and Mary Biancolana.
Thank you, Amber.
Yes, this all sounds fascinating. I'm going to ask Sharon, I'm going to ask you one question if I may, because I didn't quite get what you said before. There's a point between the ankle and the knee, and it's halfway. Is this along the shin?
Yes. So it'd be kind of like the soleus muscle. The big muscle in the back of the lower leg is called your gastrocnemius. Right. And one that's underneath it is called the soleus. That muscle can actually refer pain up into the low back area and into the sciatic area there. People come in who are runners and they also have sciatica, and that's many times what their problem is, the soleus muscle. Anybody with sciatica, that could be their problem.
Let me tell you how to find this spot real quick. If you point your toes, you see the gastrocnemius is the big bulgy muscle that makes the shape of the calf. And if you go just below the gastrocnemius and press in, you'll stay on the little toe side of the back of the leg. So if you were to draw a line down the midline of the back of your leg, you'd stay on the little toe side and search for soreness in the soleus muscle there and a little further down. I remember it. It's the low back, little toe side that causes the low back pain. So low back and little
That's
toe,
right.
Lateral.
Okay. So I actually felt on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm only talking about a 1, but I felt something then. Have I just found myself a trigger point?
Very likely you have, but it's probably a latent trigger point because it's not causing you any referred pain. So it exists with painful chemicals in the sarcomeres, but possibly it's not active enough to cause you pain. And you actually can pass the range of motion test because you could do that heel down squat. So it shows that it's not very important for your pain problem right now.
But if I go to see my sister tomorrow and attack the back of her legs, so I start poking around on the back of her legs, if that hurts, am I likely to have found a trigger point for her lower back?
That's right. You very likely would have. See if she can pass the range of motion test first. Can she do the heel down squat? Then treat that area using a variety of different techniques, but even using heat, massage, you could press in. Then see if she can do the test again, then try it again. If she can pass the test, then you know that you've corrected that muscle.
What's interesting about this soleus trigger point is that it can be a primary trigger point that creates satellite trigger points in the buttocks muscles and the gluteal muscles. And so this can be a starting point. And if you don't resolve this one, you may not resolve what's going on in the buttocks muscles.
How come I never knew any of this before? This is fascinating. I can't wait to start poking around on the back of my sister's legs.
This is a life skill. Knowing your muscles and knowing trigger points and being able to treat your pain before it becomes life-changing is really a life skill. I can't wait for the day when everybody knows about at least some simple ones. You know, you massage your upper back and the top of your shoulders by your neck to relieve a headache. Everybody should know that stuff.
Yes, the owner's manual for our muscles and our body. That's what we need.
Yeah.
This is absolutely fascinating. I think the point that you're making is so very, very important, that there is so much that we can do ourselves, isn't there?
Yes.
Yes, there is. Fiona, to help the whole country, the whole world, know more about how muscles cause pain and dysfunction, we've created a newsletter called Muscle News. And every 2 weeks, we come out with a different muscle, showing you the range of motion test, then telling you all about the kind of problems the muscle could cause, the range of motion test, then how you can treat it yourself. I figure after a year, there'll be 24 of these muscles that people have received. Then after 2 years, there'll be 58 of these newsletters. And so after a while, you're going to get the entire body.
We're going to get it covered, aren't we?
That's it.
One thing that I remember somebody telling me years and years ago, and I have no idea who it was, but it was just a way of me rethinking something. It was, yes, we've got all our bones, the skeleton, but if you have a war between a muscle and a bone, the muscle's going to win every time.
Yes, the muscles move the bones. The muscles put the bones where they are. So when you're looking at MRIs and x-rays, you need to be aware that if the position of the bone is such, it could be that the muscles are holding it that way. And that's something you want to look at first before you have things done like doing something to the bones like a laminectomy. Possibly the muscles are holding the bones that way. And if you correct the muscles, the lamina will not be causing any trouble.
Amber, if I can come to you now, one question that I do want to ask, and we were saying that self-treatment is so very important, but I'm going to use my sister as an example here. She hurt her back picking up a saddle. She's had a few issues recently. A car accident was one of them. But she's obviously tweaked something by picking up this saddle. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want this to become chronic. She's still at the stage where it's acute. What can she do to stop this becoming a problem?
First, tell me about acute. How long ago was the car accident?
The car accident was 12 months ago.
Okay, and when did she pick up the saddle?
Last week.
Okay.
Right, we'd want to make sure that she had recovered from the bruising and swelling and the impact of a car accident. We'd want to make sure that she, you know what I mean? She wasn't bruised and we weren't trying to massage areas that were bruised or swollen. So that's good. And picking up the saddle, right. She probably has got a lot of things going on. It would be beneficial for her to see an advanced therapist, a myofascial trigger point therapist, a well-trained neuromuscular therapist, somebody who can do a range of motion assessment, can do postural assessment, and can take a look at the big picture. Sharon had told you about the iliopsoas muscle. That's the name of a combination of two muscles, the iliacus and the psoas, the P-S-O-A-S, psoas. Say, for example, your sister sits a lot, like all of us,
she
right?
She does,
you know,
yes.
You know. Our psoas muscles, our iliopsoas muscles, they're hip flexors. So when we're seated, our hip flexors are short. And if we stand up, our hip flexors are in a more neutral position. And then if we take our foot behind us, they're stretched. So when we sit, we are chronically shortening a group of muscles called the hip flexors. Well, then when we go to stand up, if our hip flexors are still tight, our pelvis stays tipped forward. And it can do a couple of things. Can exaggerate the curve in our low back, making lordosis, making our butt stick out a little further, you know, like a gymnast. And that creates a lot of compression in the low back. The spine doesn't like that. The discs don't like that. And the muscles don't like that. That will shorten the spinal erector muscles that are beside the spine and the back. Creates all kinds of muscle imbalance where one set of muscles is short and tight and the other set of muscles is long and overstretched. So the psoas muscle is, and the other hip flexors like the tensor fascia lata and the rectus femoris and parts of the gluteus medius and minimus, when these are all short and tight, it's difficult for the pelvis to be in neutral. So oftentimes the key to low back pain is not working the low back. It's oftentimes working the front of the body to release the hip flexors, sometimes even other abdominal muscles like the rectus abdominis, which makes a totally different pain pattern. It's important to know what the symptoms are and what the pain patterns look like and what the range of motion is doing. Sharon's book has an excellent detailed section of range of motion testing and how to do the massage. Everything from just starting when you're hypersensitive to how to advance all the way through where you're able to give lots and lots of pressure. With your sister, she may have some underlying pelvic imbalance that needs to be worked out. And then adding the other factors, the other life factors, the accidents, the injuries, the illnesses, the pregnancies, all that stuff plays in. But then like lifting the saddle, oftentimes you've got a lifting, twisting motion when you have an injury to the low back that's a lifting. And there's a muscle in the low back between the ribs, the lowest rib, and the top of the pelvis called the quadratus lumborum, lumbar lumborum, quadratus, four bits of muscle. And put your hands on your hips like you're going to scold a small child, right? You've got your thumbs in your back there. As you're sitting there, you could raise your hip up towards your head, like you're raising one side of your buttock off the chair, just a little bit. And under your thumb, you'll feel that muscle contract. It's hiking your hip up, right? That's the quadratus lumborum. If you take your thumb, feel up against, you feel the lowest rib, okay, those are bones, and you feel over towards the spine, you run into this big, massive column of muscle. Those are the spinal erector muscles. If you touch with your other hand, you can feel the spine bones, the spinous processes on the vertebra. You feel those, and then all the way 2, 3, sometimes 4 inches, depending on how big a person, all the way out to the side, 2, 3, 4 inches, you'll feel where you fall off those spinal erector muscles into kind of a softer area. And that's where you felt that contraction when you raise your buttock off the chair. That's the quadratus lumborum. If you press just below the lowest ribs and just to the outside of those big spinal erector muscles, you press in there, you can find a trigger point in the quadratus lumborum. You can aim towards your opposite shoulder and you relax your tummy muscles, take a breath, and press in. And you want to only press hard enough that it feels what I call therapeutically delicious. A little bit painful, but you like it. So you're not yet squinting your eyes. You're not yet holding your breath, but it's definitely a good spot. So you can massage that with your thumb, but you can see right away that you're going to wear out your thumb. So you could do something like take a simple tennis ball or a ball about the size of a tennis ball, any kind of rubber ball, not a pool ball. I don't know what you guys call pool. I forget. You have another word for that in England. But yeah. Those are a little too hard, and a baseball is too hard. But something like a tennis ball or a high bounce ball or a high bounce pinky ball.
It has a little bit of a give in it.
Yeah. And you can get against the wall. You can use any wall. So you would stand, you'd stand up straight with your side against the wall, place the ball underneath your lowest rib, take your arm forward of your body, and then turn your body away from the wall until your body's making about a 45 degree angle to the wall. And as you do this, you can roll all through there and find tender places from the ribs all the way down to the top of the pelvis. Now, some people have a really large space between their ribs and their pelvis, 3-4 inches, and other people have, you know, half an inch and can just barely get a finger in between there. Obviously, for people with a small space, the ball on the wall is not going to be very satisfying, and they would need a different kind of tool like a back knobber or a Theracane that they could use to get into that space.
Okay, stop there. Back knobber or a Theracane. Now, I mean, Sharon, you've just been sitting there for a while. Would one of you just explain those words to me, please?
A back knobber is a tool that you use to reach at a distance and around your back. It's an S-shaped tool about 2.5 feet long, and it has a small knob on one end and a larger knob on the other. It's a great tool that you can use to press in around the back or around your side. You could also lay down on your back and then put it underneath you. And just with the slightest torque, you'll be able to treat all those muscles on your back, and it'd be very easy.
Is this for those hard-to-reach areas?
Like Yes,
if you want to stretch your back and you can't reach, this is a way of getting at muscles for yourself.
Anybody can learn to self-massage every single muscle a massage therapist can massage. Everybody can massage them on themselves. And you don't have to break your arms. The back knobber tool is sold by a company called Pressure Positive, and they've got a website, pressurepositive.com. You can buy self-treatment tools on Amazon.com. You could go to my website, triggerpointbook.com, and link to sites that sell tools like that. There's a variety of different really good tools out there.
Usually when you need a massage, you need it now, and you have to phone somebody, and you'll get one in 2 days' time.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's ideal if somebody else can massage you. You can relax. They're doing the work, and being able to relax is really, really helpful while you're getting the treatment. But it's really helpful to be able to help yourself when you're in a crisis and not have to rely on somebody else to treat you. And with something pops up.
It's additional too, isn't it? Additional too.
It can be additional too, or maybe if some people can't afford massage, or the massage therapist goes on vacation for 2 weeks and they need them. And then there's just it's just maintenance. I mean, we don't rely on the dentist to brush our teeth, right?
Oh, I love that. Very good point.
Sharon does this great thing. Sharon is older than I am. I have no idea. She has better range of motion than most anybody I could name. Certainly a lot better range of motion than I do. And she's got this great trick that she tests her range of motion every day throughout the day. She just kind of puts it into her routine. And if she finds that her range of motion is lacking, she can't fully stretch out a muscle, she gives it a little treatment. Brilliant. Love it. So she's going to be a very, very healthy 96-year-old. And not have pain like everybody else.
This is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because none of us wants to live to be 96 if we're constantly in pain and unable to do anything. But Sharon, how do you do this? How do you test yourself?
I have a great range of motion test that, of course, I know what they are at this point. I've got it memorized, obviously.
One of the things that people with back pain know about is that it affects everybody around you. So I'm hopping around like a spring chicken at the moment, and I look at my system because I know what it's like. You just want to help, don't you? What I love about this trigger point therapy is the huge emphasis on self-help.
That's right. Now, I have the range of motion posters that you can actually pick up, and the tools from health healthandmed.com. Healthandmed.com.
Healthandmed.com.
People could order from anywhere in the world. Trigger point tools, also the range of motion tests. Also a poster that Dr. Simons and I put together that puts all the information from the myofascial field onto a poster that you could have on your wall. So these are things that people could order and get, as well as people could pick up our books and Amber's book or my book and learn how to take care of themselves, get that owner's manual for their body.
Yes, I like this, owner's manual for the body, because Amber was making the point before you joined us, Sharon. You were saying your father, Amber, was piano, what was it?
A piano rebuilder. He rebuilt Steinway pianos.
But he was just, see a problem, okay, there's a simple way of dealing with this, and then he just wanted to spread the word, and I think that's lovely. I really do. One of the things I was looking on Amazon about the book that you are involved with, your father's book, Amber, there are, on the UK site, 64 customer reviews. Now, this is the UK site, because I know Amazon US, you'd have hundreds.
I think there's over 400, almost 500 now, and four and a half stars pretty consistently.
Yes, and that's what I found so interesting. As I say, we're a much smaller country, the UK is, than we're smaller than some of your states. But 5 stars, 52, 4 stars, 7, 3 stars, 5. There are no 2 stars and no 1 stars. And the reason some people have put the 3 stars in is they're saying, you know, it's a little bit difficult to follow. Because I think, are there some long words in it?
Yes. Sternocleidomastoid. There's all these muscle names. I've worked really hard over the last 2 years to revise the book. Like I said, it'll be out later this summer, to add more figure it out tools. I've improved the pain guides, which muscles to look in. I've added a new other symptoms guide. So pain in the knees going up steps, pain in the low back sitting, all that stuff. And I cover the whole body. Sharon's book is just pain for the low back, and my book is the whole body and doesn't have the range of motion tests. We don't have room for that or the stretching piece, but with the help of the posters and a good book on stretching, the piece that you can't get anywhere else is the location of the trigger points and how to self-treat them in ways that won't hurt you, your arms and hands, and somewhere else. If you're in pain right now and you want help with low back pain, go buy Sharon's book. It's inexpensive. It's under $20. Is it under $20 or $22?
It's often Amazon is selling it for $17.
Yeah, you can take a risk. $17. You can take a risk and spend that much money. Yeah, and get some help. And if you find that it's too difficult for you to handle on your own or with your partner, you can take it to your massage therapist or your physiotherapist, your physical therapist, and work together in collaboration.
Oh, that's interesting. Sharon, sort of speak to us about that. So if you have any form of treatment and a massage, you know, it's going to be more than $17, which is only going to be about, what's it, 13, 14 pounds in the UK. You would pay more than that for a massage, but you can take this to your therapist, your massage therapist?
Yeah, you can say, this is what I'm doing. I've found this spot, and I've totally failed these range of motion tests, and what can you do to help me? And when you go see somebody for therapy, it's a collaborative process. You can go in and get a massage, or you lay on the table, and they rub oil on you, and you're there for an hour, and you don't talk. And that's relaxing. That's what I think of as wellness massage. It's great for our whole being, but it's not going to solve trigger points. And so if you're trying to solve a problem, whatever kind of therapist or doctor or practitioner you're using, it's a collaborative dance. They need your feedback. If you say, I would like to explore this, can you help me? Or what do you do to treat this muscle and that muscle? Or what do you make of this book? You're going to more likely get a result that you like, and you might help them learn something new or pull out a piece of their training that they hadn't thought of to use with you. Or they can tell you it's a load of baloney and you can move on, but you'll know, you can get some help with it.
People could potentially call us and talk to us. I think Amber would be able to help them on the phone. I would be able to help people evaluate themselves and suggest how they could treat themselves over the phone, like a telephone appointment, just like we're doing here on your Skype.
Yes, because distance is no issue nowadays, is it? It really isn't. We have access around the world. The only thing you have to think about is time differences.
Right.
That's right.
We don't have to worry about technology. We can just talk to anybody around the world. I'm having conversations. It's Louisville, Kentucky. And where are you from, Sharon?
I'm in Chicago, Illinois.
You're in Chicago, Illinois, Chicago. Yes. I mean, and we're having a conversation. This is not costing anything for the use of the technology that's enabling us to speak to. Both of you are just bringing so much to the conversation. Now, I know that you're both very busy and I know that you've got things that you need to do, but I just want to go through again, if I may, what I've got from today's conversation. The trigger point itself, we talked about those sarcomeres, having their party. So we don't want to have an invitation for open house. You find the trigger points. You may have referred pain. Mm-hmm. 80% of pain is referred. Now, I think that's very, very interesting. But we can work on these things ourselves with using things like tennis balls or these...
Back knobbers.
Yes, back knobbers. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking of them as like, you know, your back scratches, but for getting at muscles.
Yeah, it's an S-hook. That's an S-hook. And there's other cane-shaped tools, a lot of different varieties. And they're inexpensive, you know, $40, $35, $40, depending on where you buy them.
Yeah, when you have problems with backs, you can end up spending so much money, can't you? Really can.
Sure.
But if we look for these things, and we can even take the book with us to a massage therapist, because if you're having a scheduled massage, it might just be me time. But you can combine that me time with therapy for your little sarcomeres.
Now, ideally, Sharon and I are working on raising the bar in massage therapy. And massage therapy is a very broad field, very broad. We are trying to train therapists to do more advanced work, like in myofascial trigger point therapy. Ideally, you would find a myofascial trigger point therapist through websites like myofascialtherapy.org. Or Sharon's website, you haven't mentioned that yet, is MyoPain.
MyoPain.com, www.myopain.com. We have a beta group of teachers. We're hoping to get as many as 40 teachers ready to teach this stuff this year. Maybe we'll only get 20, but we're working on seeing if we couldn't get more teachers teaching this work and more therapists doing it throughout the whole country and the whole world.
Yeah, and there are lots of other groups that are doing this that are around the world. There's also the International MyoPain Society, which is an association of doctors and a lot of doctors and physical therapists and a few other manual therapists. And their website is myopain.site-ym.com. So that's MOYPAIN.SITE, a horizontal dash ym.com. But a Google search, there's an academy in Switzerland that's training physicians and physiotherapists. That's DGS.com, the David G. Simons Academy. Lots of stuff. This whole field is really expanding right now.
We're in at the start of a sort of an explosion of getting this knowledge across around the world.
That's right.
I love it. To finish off, Amber, the updated book is going to be coming out later this summer.
Yes.
Brilliant. So probably around August time, but obviously people can still buy the second version of it.
Yes, and they will get a lot of help from that. I'm really excited about the third edition, and it's cheap. I mean, it's going to be $25, $24.95. And cheaper on Amazon. You know, we're not getting rich off of this. Our goal is to bring the work of Janet Travell and David Simons to the mainstream. It's ridiculous that doctors don't know how to treat muscle pain, that they only treat it with painkillers and muscle relaxers. That's going to change, and we want to be a part of that change.
Yeah, brilliant. And Sharon, your book is?
Trigger Point Therapy for Low Back Pain, a Trigger Point Manual. And you can pick it up all over the world. And also, it's written in a couple of other languages as well, Japanese and Korean,
oh, wow.
as well as English.
Ladies, it's been brilliant. Thank you very much. Tools for self-help. That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yes.
The thing with back pain, especially, and in your father's case, Amber, frozen shoulders, the normal medical treatment just isn't very good, is it?
Traditional Western medicine is really great for things that can kill you. You know, they've really done amazing work over the last century for things that can kill us and debilitate us in diseases. And, you know, muscle pain can't kill you. So maybe that is one reason why it's taken longer to get their attention. And they don't know enough about it. They're not taught how to treat muscle pain in school because muscle is an orphan organ. You can't go be a specialist, a doctor of muscle. They literally don't learn it. There hasn't been enough research into the muscular causes of pain. That's one of our problems. But I think things are really changing now. It's not going to be like this forever.
Good, good. I think what you're saying is right. It hasn't been a priority. And it's all very well that modern Western medicine is brilliant at keeping us alive, but sometimes quality of life is an important factor that hasn't right. been taken into account as much. Because if you're in pain and you're miserable, you know, it's not good, is it?
No.
It isn't.
No.
So
it affects everything in your life.
It does. And I think it's lovely what you're doing. I think it's lovely. I really do.
Well, thank you so much for asking us, Fiona. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's been a brilliant call. I thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
Trigger Point Therapy, the books are out there on Amazon. They're not expensive. Try it. Try it. This is the whole point of this tennis summit. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I've actually got a tennis ball here, but I'm really intrigued now. I want to get up a wall and try and get in that bit below the lower rib.
And there's lots of tips in both of our books for how to make that work. Like, you'll notice the tennis ball is slippery on the wall, but if you put it in a long sock, you can control it and it won't roll under the couch. You know, stuff like that. There's little tips to solve all the problems.
I'm going to say something sexist here. But we women, we don't have problems, do we? We have solutions.
Yeah, there you
go. How simple is that? Yeah, pop it in a long sock. That'll work. Expensive? No, I don't know about you, but I've got lots of long socks. Thank you so much. It really has been a pleasure. I've very much enjoyed it. And keep on with the good work.
Thank you so much.